Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Voices for Victory podcast. I'm your host, Mick McDonald. I'm so glad you're joining us for our latest episode. What can you look forward to on each and every episode? You'll hear stories of people who've been touched by cancer in some way, and what they are doing to move us closer to victory over cancer. The V Foundation, we're so fortunate to have many partners that are so passionate about supporting cancer research. In September, during Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month, it's impossible to follow along with our friends from WWE without hearing about Connor's Cure. Through this initiative, WWE raises money and awareness to support pediatric cancer research, which is funded through the V Foundation's grant-making process. We'll chat more about Connor's Cure with today's guest, The Miz. The Miz has been a WWE superstar for well over a decade and is a former WWE champion. He also stars in his own reality series, Miz and Mrs. In our conversation, I chat with The Miz about why Connor's Cure is such an important initiative to WWE, how he has joined forces with a well-known actor to raise more money to support it, and his unbelievable path to becoming a WWE and television star. And now, our conversation with The Miz.
And I always have to think about what's important in life is to think to me of three things: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. Those are the three things that I try and do every day.
And we are now joined on the Voices for Victory podcast by WWE superstar The Miz. Miz, I know how busy you are with all the different things you have going on, so I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat with us today.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
So you've had a fascinating career that I want to dive into a little bit, but first, to get started, September is Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month, and the WWE, as always, is going all out to support pediatric cancer research through their Connor's Cure initiative. First off, for any of our listeners who may not be familiar, can you just give them kind of a quick rundown of what Connor's Cure is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I first met this young kid named Connor. He came backstage. He was a huge WWE fan. Unfortunately, he was a huge Daniel Bryan fan, who is like my biggest rival in WWE. And so he was going around meeting all these superstars, and I met him, and he just had this infectious charisma about him, and was just so fun, so always laughing, just a very, very just fun, loving kid. And he actually had pediatric cancer. You know, every year we would come to Pittsburgh, and every year we'd ask how he's doing. He'd either be there or he wouldn't be there because he was in the hospital. But we'd always keep in contact with him. And, you know, after a couple years, the cancer actually took his life. And it was very sad for our entire WWE community, because we just fell for this kid. I mean, this kid was just so full of life, so much fun, you know, and, you know, it took him. And so WWE decided to really, you know, put full force and said, you know what? We need to do something about this. We need to raise some money for pediatric cancer. And we called the charity Connor's Cure. And now every year, you know, you'll see in the month of September, everything is Connor's Cure. From, you know, our logos on WWE, we're doing a lot of things trying to get people to donate and raise as much as money as possible. And I've actually been to Pittsburgh where, you know, the money has been actually put to good use. I've seen what the money is used for. I've met children that have benefited from Connor's Cure. And so this is just a really amazing cause. And so to go to the hospitals and just put a smile on the kid's face and the parent's face, you know, it's there's nothing quite like that. And so every September, that's what we do. We make sure that we put as much force as possible into raising as much money for pediatric cancer.
And as you said, each September, this is a full undertaking by the WWE. And it starts at the top. We know how involved Stephanie McMahon is with Connor's Cure. She's been to many of our V Foundation events and become an integral part of everything that we do as well. So when it starts at the top, then you see, you know, all the different superstars in September wearing Connor's Cure gear or the wristband and visiting the hospitals. Is this just something that kind of takes over the WWE community every September, where, you know, everyone is going to step in and do what they can to kind of help out, it seems?
Everyone does their due diligence. I mean, as soon as so we have a little spot called Gorilla Position right before we're about to go out into the arena. It's a little spot that you can kind of get ready, get prepared. And there's shirts for Connor Cure. You could put stickers. They have like pins and that you could put on your suits. We basically just do everything possible to get it out there. Any superstar can wear whatever they want. And I always choose to wear shirts, wristbands, pins, everything I possibly can to show, to put the word out there, to get it out there. So if someone sees a pin that says Connor's Cure on it, they might go, well, what is that? Let me look it up on the internet. They'll look it up on the internet. They'll go, wow, this is an amazing cause. Allow me to donate X amount of dollars to just, $1 can go a long way. You might think, what's a dollar going to do? A dollar does a lot. And if everyone just does $1, I mean, that could raise a lot of money. It adds up. And so as much as we can, we put shirts that all the proceeds that are bought from the shirts go towards Connor's Cure.
And you mentioned, being able to go to the hospitals and see some of these kids. And, obviously this year things are a little different with having to do virtual visits with everything going on with the pandemic. But one thing that WWE does such an amazing job of is highlighting kids. And it started with Connor and, he had kind of his WWE persona, right? Connor the Crusher that you all got to see. And now WWE does such a great job spotlighting some of these kids who are going through this, this horrific battle with cancer. But they get to show their WWE superstar persona, which I think is so cool. And WWE did such a wonderful job of giving these kids a platform to kind of be a WWE superstar. And, if you haven't seen it, I encourage everyone to go check out WWE's social media. They highlight them there and just seeing the energy that some of these kids have when maybe they just came from a chemo treatment. But hey, they put that mask and that cape on and all of a sudden they're a WWE superstar. It's really motivating and inspiring, I think.
Yeah, it's really cute too. I was actually there, when we first announced that we were going to be doing this, and it was in Pittsburgh. We came out, and every kid got a moment to go actually have their entrance, have entrance music. They got to pick their own entrance music. They got to pick what their character was, what their finishing move is, what their superpower is. I mean, they got to be superheroes and WWE superstars for that day, and and they can live vicariously through whoever that character is for that day. Some of them were, when we got there, they were like, one of the kids is kind of sick, but he really wants to do it. And he's not feeling well today. And honestly, he put the outfit on and it changed him. It gave him an added bonus, like an added boost of energy. And when his music hit, he came down there and he had a cape on. He had like this, it was like this blue outfit. It was just so cute and so funny, and to see not only the kids having fun, but the parents as well. And after we were done, one of the parents came up to me and said, like, thank you so much. And I was like, no, thank you. He goes, no, you don't understand. Like, I haven't seen him this happy in so long, and just these little moments like this are moments that I'll cherish for the rest of my life, and I imagine he will too. And so thank you for that. And it's like, wow, it kind of brings almost a tear to your eye because, the situations that we're put in, and, it was just a cool moment. And now we have this amazing, I guess you could call it a commercial about Connor's Cure and what it does. And these kids got to be a part of it. So they got to be superstars for a day. And, they still have their outfits. They still have their entrance music. It was really a lot of fun.
And if people want to learn more about Connor's Cure, then go to v.org/Connor. That's Connor. The video Miz mentioned is on there. There's a lot more details about everything going on around Connor's Cure. And one of those things, Miz, is something you've kind of taken upon yourself to do. So, this fall, you're teaming up with actor James Roday Rodriguez, who people may know from the show A Million Little Things. You've got kind of a fun fantasy football challenge going on that's going to help benefit Connor's Cure. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. Yeah, we got the we got involved with the NFFC Primetime League, which I'm a huge fan of fantasy football. James is a huge diehard fantasy football fan. We were like, let's do a fantasy football league for a good cause. And I was like, well, how do we do this? And so, James kind of went full force got WWE involved, got the V Foundation involved, got ESPN, WWE. We got everyone involved. And now we have this league of 12 teams, and whoever wins, it's to say James and I win this league, we could win upwards to $207,000. But on top of that, someone came along and said, I love what this league is doing. If James Rodet and the Miz's team wins, I will double their winnings. So we have an opportunity to win $414,000 for the B Foundation and Connor's Cure. And, you know, I mean, and right now we're in fourth place. And that is huge, because we have the most points. We're 1-1 in the league. We have a really, really good team. And we've been James and I are on the phone every single day about that. There is no other fantasy football, like, it is like my life. Like, besides WWE and Cannonball and Miz and Mrs. and all these things I do, I focus on fantasy football. And every league that I'm in, I focus on. But this is the most important league I have ever been in my entire life. James and I are on the phone. We were arguing the other day whether to start Leonard Fournette, Mike Williams, or Andrew Lazard. And we were up into the minute. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan as our quarterback. I was going, dude, we're putting in Matty Ice. That's what we're doing. It's fine. He goes, no, you don't understand. Aaron Rodgers did so well. I go, do you understand what this is for? We have to win. We must win. And so we ended up getting Matty Ice, who gave us a lot of points. But we went with Mike Williams because we thought like he was going to get a lot of touches with Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor gets injured right before. We don't have time to change it up. And so Leonard Fournette was on our bench with 27 points. However, we're still in fourth place. We're doing really well. And we're honing in. We're locked in. And we're going to win as much money as we possibly can for this league. And by the way, not only that, but raise awareness. Because that's a huge proponent of this. Because not only can the people in the league donate money, but people outside the league can donate money if they just want to donate to Connor's Cure.
And I don't think we could have a better advocate. I mean, I can tell just how passionate you're getting talking about what, you know, Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers. I'm just picturing you and James going back and forth on the phone. Are you like, he wants Rodgers? Are you like, all right, I'm going to cut a promo on you. We're taking down Matty Ice. We're not going with Rod. Like, I can just see the two of you guys going back and forth.
We cut promos on each other every single day. Like, every day. Like, he texted me this morning and was like, yeah, we really did a bad job on the Fournette thing. I told you. By the way, I called it. I said, Fournette is going to get a touchdown this week. I guarantee it. I know it. It's just going to happen. It's what the Buccaneers do. It's what Tom Brady does. If Tom Brady has a bad week, you know the next week he's going to surpass everything you could possibly imagine, and he's going to get everybody involved, and Leonard Fournette's going to get a touchdown, and he did that. So I yelled at him about that today. But James is very passionate about pediatric cancer as well, because he actually plays a character on Million Little Things that actually is a cancer survivor. So, you know, he got really involved with, you know, trying to raise as much money for cancer as possible through that. So, you know, he and I are just trying to do our best in raising as much money and awareness as possible.
Yeah, it's very cool, and I hope people will follow along, and hopefully you guys can bring home the championship for a great cause. You know, Miz, I want to talk a little bit just about your career in general, because it's really an unbelievable story. I think most people kind of know, people got to know you a little bit from your time on The Real World, and then you win the WWE Championship after a long road becoming a WWE superstar. You know, now you're all over TV. People can't get away from The Miz on TV these days. It's been a crazy path. So I wonder, just first off, when did you first think, okay, this WWE superstar thing might actually be realistic for me?
Real World. When I got on The Real World, it made me realize I could actually, when I was growing up in Cleveland, the ideal like life for you is that after high school, you go to college. After college, you go back to Cleveland, you get a job, you get a family, and that's what you do for the rest of your life. However, when I was in Miami of Ohio, I was sitting in my fraternity watching TV, and it said, do you like The Real World? I was like, yeah, I like The Real World. Do you want to try out for The Real World? I go, yeah, I want to try out for The Real World. Well, turn your video in here. And so I wrote down the address that I sent the video in, edited a video for an entire week. By the way, editing wasn't what it was back then, we didn't have like cell phones. Like right. Cell phones were like yeah. the Zach Morris cell phones. We didn't have camera phones or anything. I had a VHS camcorder and that I put three little like wires into a VHS tape and I pressed record and pressed play and then stop. And then you press play and then you press record. Like that was your editing process. There was no computers that did all the editing for you. It wasn't that easy back then. But I did my video, made it onto the real world. And once I made it onto the real world, I said, you know what? Any dream I possibly could have, I can do. I don't think if I wasn't on the real world, I'm not sure I would be where I am today. I know for a fact I wouldn't be. I would have had the same mindset. But real world gave me the confidence to believe in myself. And sometimes you just need those avenues, that one thing, that one moment in your life. Like when I saw that commercial, if that commercial didn't come up that exact time, I'm not sure. And by the way, if I didn't decide to actually make the video, if I listened to all my friends that told me 60,000 people try out for this show, you're not going to make it. There's no way. Then I would have never done it. But I chose to go that path. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it the best of my ability. And I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to take a chance. And I did that. And so once I took that chance, I started taking more chances. And I started making my goals higher. So I said, I want to be a WWE superstar. All right, how do I become a WWE superstar? I went on the internet. I went on like Yahoo. And and I was like, how do you become a WWE superstar? It's like you need to go into like a developmental territory. So I found a developmental territory in Los Angeles that was kind of like a developmental territory for WWE that could teach me the art of professional wrestling. But not only that, I was like, I'm in Los Angeles. I can do acting classes, improv classes. So I did those as well because I knew those were part of being a WWE superstar. I also got a nutritionist. I also got a guy that could help me work out to give me a program so I can get bigger. Because back then, every guy was 6'6", 300 pounds of pure solid muscle. I was 6'1", you know, barely 200 pounds. So I was like, God, I got to get bigger. So I made sure that I found all the tools that I possibly could need to become a WWE superstar. And even when I would go out like with friends and I would meet people and I would tell them, like most people in LA are like, yeah, I'm an actor, I'm an actress, I'm an actor and I'm an actress. When you hear, yeah, I want to be a WWE superstar, they're like, why? Like, why would you want to? And I was like, because that's my dream. When I was a kid, there was nothing bigger than the Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, like the Rockers. Like I was a huge WWE fan. They were larger than life. I loved the soap opera like storylines. I loved everything about it. And so I wanted to be that. And even when people were making fun of me, telling me I wasn't going to do it, I wasn't going to make it, I still said, yes, I am. And, you know, then all of a sudden Tough Enough came around. And no one really knows this, but I tried out for Tough Enough season 2. They wouldn't let me do it. They wouldn't let me try out because I was already on MTV and Tough Enough was on MTV. And they didn't, back then you couldn't be on three different shows. You had to be on one show and stick to it. And so I was like, man, I'm never going to make it. You know, I'm never going to make it through that avenue. Then finally WWE came calling and said, hey, do you want to try out for Tough Enough? And I said, they told me I wasn't allowed. They go, this is the first time that we're doing it on the CW and we're not on MTV. And I went, oh man, I could try out. So I tried out, made it onto the show, didn't win, came in second place, but that wasn't going to stop me. And so I impressed the execs so much that they gave me a developmental deal, moved from Los Angeles to Atlanta for 6 months, became the first ever Deep South heavyweight champion. They told me like when I was there that, you know, you have to, you, in order to make it to WWE, you have to be like the top guy in the developmental system and the top and the guy that everyone's talking about there. And you got to sell out. And our first show at Deep South, it was a brand new developmental territory for WWE. Our first show, we had to turn people away. And I ended up being the first ever Deep South heavyweight champion. And after that, I went to another territory in WWE because I was so successful there. Paul Heyman brought me up to Ohio Valley Wrestling and changed me from a good guy to a bad guy. And this is the first time I ever became a bad guy in WWE, which wasn't WWE, it was Ohio Valley Wrestling. And he was a genius. He saw it in me. And I've been a bad guy in WWE ever since. It took me a year in developmental to get up to WWE. And even after being in WWE, No one thought I was ever going to make it past 3 months. And here I am 15 years later, still going. So to anyone listening to this podcast, what are some things that got me there is I found the tools that I needed to be a WWE superstar. I looked for them. Like I said, I'm going to go to acting classes, improv classes. I wasn't just going to do, professional wrestling. So whatever career you choose, find the tools you need to be the best possible person you could possibly be. So that's what I always recommend.
I'm glad you went that in depth on it too, because I think maybe people who haven't followed your career super closely, they know you. They know you were on the Real World. They know you then came to WWE. They think maybe you just snapped your fingers and said, all right, I'm going to go from Real World to WWE. That is not the case.
People thought when I was on the Real World that it was the reason I got a contract with WWE. If anything, right. it hurt me in WWE. People did not want, like, WWE, I look at as a fraternity, and the WWE universe, our fans are involved in this fraternity. You know, the superstars are involved. Everyone is in this fraternity, and we don't want you in if you're an outsider. We don't want you. And I was an outsider. I was a person that people looked at that said, he just wants fame. He doesn't have a love and passion for WWE. He just wants to be famous. He just wants to use this to catapult him to somewhere else. And it took time. And honestly, I'm still feeling like I'm still trying to prove myself even to this day. And it's been 15 years being in WWE. But, you know, I feel like I'm starting to get the respect that I feel like I've wanted my entire career. And I think people are starting to understand that I am here for the long haul. I do have a love and passion for this sport. And I'm not going anywhere. If anything, I'm sticking around. And I'm making it even more. Like, the reason I do Miz and Mrs. is to venture out more so more people can come back to WWE and look at it and say, hey, I like reality shows. Oh, this is a reality show about a guy that has a family that is in WWE. Maybe you don't like WWE, you just like reality shows. But then you watch a reality show and you go, wow, I kind of want to watch what this guy does in the ring. So then it brings more fans to WWE. Cannonball, same thing. I'm a host. So my job is to make that show as entertaining and as fun as possible. And so that's exactly what I did. And hopefully it generates more people to come back to WWE to see, like, wow, look at the talent. Like, look at The Rock. Look at John Cena. Look at Batista. These are the type of talents that WWE generates. And, you know, we're not just a one-trick pony. We do everything in entertainment. And, you know, we have a passion for it. I mean, WWE is an amazing grounds for learning on how to do everything in entertainment.
There's no question. And I think, you know, you certainly, you know, prove your passion for WWE. You mentioned growing up being a fan. And I think, you know, a moment that people remember, of course, early on in your WWE career, when you won the WWE championship, you know, you were your character, as you mentioned, you're playing a bad guy. So people may not be quote unquote supposed to be rooting for you. But that moment when you won the WWE championship, I went back and watched the clip again today. That is some of the most real emotion on your face. And you can just tell it's someone who has, you know, that meant something. Like the WWE championship, like you said, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, those kind of guys. And then you're there holding that title. What did that moment mean to you?
And everyone was telling me that I would never get it. Imagine coming into a career that you want, that you've always dreamt of, and everyone was telling you, you'll be gone in 3 months. You're not going to make it. You just don't have the it factor. It's just not going to happen. You're not big enough. You're not fast enough. You're not talented enough. And so I just kept, you know, going at it. I was a guy that got kicked out of the locker room because people said I had a big mouth. And obviously, my big mouth has paid off dividends. So when I won the WWE championship against Randy Orton, I can't even tell you how many emotions went through me. It's one of those times where there was excitement at first, like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Then there was a knot in my throat where everything started. And this is all a matter of a split second, like seconds. Okay. So you have this immense amount of excitement, right? Then you start thinking about everything that you've went through to get to that moment, and everyone that's helped you, every person that supported you, and you start to get almost teary-eyed. But then you start realizing you're on national television, you're WWE champion. You don't want to be crying on your first time being. So you're like, wait, all right, now I gotta hold it in. Now I gotta like over exude myself to make sure I don't do that. But man, there's very little moments in my life that I've had that type of feeling. And it was incredible. It was amazing. And I still remember the feeling to this day. And I want to have that feeling once again.
And I know, you know, that was obviously a huge moment for you, but the biggest thing that I think, you know, for a WWE superstar is you want reactions from the fans, right? Whether it's good or bad, and you being a bad guy, you wanted to get some bad reactions. I got to talk to you about the Miz girl. The meme that everyone, if you don't know it, just type in Miz girl in your meme generator or whatever. You'll see what I'm talking about. This girl whose day you ruined, you know, I just think, what is it like to you to be the guy that like gets these reactions in a negative way from people? I know that's what you're going for as a bad guy, but is that something you kind of take pride in, where you can get people over the top, you know, in a negative way reacting to you?
100%. There is nothing better than going on my Twitter and reading people telling me how much I suck, how terrible I am, how much they can't stand me, how arrogant, how egotistical I am, how I'm doing everything wrong, how I'm change the channel type of superstar. There is nothing better than that. And I think I get this from my dad, to be honest. My dad is the type of person that walks into a room and he'll have a big smile on his face and he'll go, "George is here." And everyone will go, "Oh God." But you really want, like, you go, "Oh God," but I can't believe he's here. But you kind of, you can't help but love and want to hear and see what he's going to do next. And that's, and my dad's a button pusher. Like, if he sees a button, he'll just keep pushing it. And I noticed this, for the first time I do this, it was a WrestleMania in San Francisco. My dad and I were out afterwards with all my friends, because I always have my friend. I fly all my friends from high school that were in my living room watching WWE. They all fly out and watch every year. There's like 12 of them that come out to watch WrestleMania. So we all go out to dinner after WrestleMania and just chat. And my dad was annoying me. Like, he was just, like, I said, "Dad, can you stop? Like, stop." And I just saw it in his eye. Like, he knew what he was doing and he smiled. And I went, "Oh my God, he's pushing my buttons." And then I thought, "Oh my God, I do that. I do that to Maurice all the time. Like, if I find a button, I'm going to push it." And so I do it with the WWE universe too. So there is no better feeling than, you know, when you win a WWE championship off of a favorite like Randy Orton, and a little girl is in the stands with a Randy Orton shirt on, giving you the most evil death stare you've ever seen in your entire life. And I mean, it solidified. Like, I don't know if you remember, the next week we had the Slammies, and they gave a Slammy to the best fan reaction. And that's she right. got a Slammy. I came out and took the Slammy away from her and sent her to the back. And I mean, like, how big of a jerk could you possibly be? I mean, it honestly helped my career, like my not career, but like, I would say it helped people understand how hated I was at that moment and how hated I've always been. Like, whenever you lose a WWE championship, whether it's Intercontinental, United States, tag team titles, you want the biggest reaction, whether it's booing or cheering. That's when you know you're doing a great job. I remember when I was in, I think it was either Toronto or Montreal. I think it was Montreal, to be honest. It was one of the two. It was in Canada. Let's put it that way. And I had a match against Bret Hart, Bret the Hitman Hart. I was the United States champion. And Bret the Hitman Hart slapped on the sharpshooter. I tapped out. And let me tell you, I have never heard a bigger eruption of cheers and celebration of me losing a title and Bret winning that title than I did that night. And it was incredible. It was amazing. I remember when I won the Money in the Bank ladder like match, I threw Randy Orton off the ladder. As soon as I started climbing the ladder, you could hear, you could feel just the level of hatred and booing as I each rung I climbed to grab the Money in the Bank contract, the crowd was just booing so loudly. And when I got the contract, it was so amazing. I get chills and goosebumps just talking about it.
Well, Miz, you're so great at eliciting the boos from the crowd, but all the great work you're doing with James Roday Rodriguez and everything you're doing for Connor's Cure, hopefully cheers from everyone for all the great things you're doing there. Everyone, again, v.org/Connor, C-O-N-N-O-R, has all the information about what the Miz is doing, and you can also donate to support Connor's Cure. Miz, thanks again for everything you're doing and for taking some time to chat with us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. And let me tell you, James and I will be on the phone later on today arguing on who to put in our flex spot, just because we are so dedicated to raising as much money for the V Foundation as well as Connor's Cure. So excited to be, doing this. And, I can't wait till we can actually, visit hospitals again and visit these kids and, just put smiles on people's faces. You know, I love seeing an audience out there and families together. And even right now, like, we have a Thunderdome where, we have virtual, audience. So we're doing our best to, put smiles on people's faces and entertain people as much as possible. And, hopefully we're doing that well. And, hopefully people are watching and seeing the Connor's Cure logo and get curious and hopefully go to the site and donate and raise awareness.
Miz, thanks so much. Take care and best of luck to you down the road.
Oh yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks again to The Miz for chatting with me today, and thanks so much to everyone who tuned in for another episode of the Voices for Victory podcast. Make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so that you can find our new episodes as soon as they're posted. And don't forget the nice comments and 5-star reviews, please. You can also find more information about the V Foundation by visiting v.org, and be sure to follow us on all your favorite social media channels at the V Foundation. Until next time.
To me, there are three things we all should do every day. We do this every day of our life. You're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.